Okay, Ken, as promised, I bought a microphone for my computer. So I'm sending you a Christmas greeting, and I wanted to thank you very much for the podcasts that you've been doing over the year. They have been the highlight of every Saturday or Sunday for me. Thank you, and please keep them coming. Best wishes for the new year to you and all of your podcast listeners.
Whoa, stop the music there. Who the fuck is this?
Jeez, prick. This is our Christmas show, and first of all, don't swear on this show. And secondly, we're trying to create kind of a spirit here. I've got a lot of really nice songs lined up.
Yeah, more of those fucking Christmas carols, eh?
Yes, exactly. They're beautiful ones that take me back to my youth and just some of the beauty of Christmas. So please, 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 butt out. Come back in the new year.
Yeah, you'll be lucky if you see me again. I got offers, buddy.
Offers, prick? Like, for instance?
I'm not giving that away, but listen, all you podcasters out there, I'm ready to do a 2-minute clip for any one of your shows anytime you want. Once a week, whatever you want, straight from the prick, and I'll give it to you. Free.
Generous offer there, prick. I doubt you're going to get any takers.
Yeah, we'll see about that, buddy. Just wait and see what the new year brings you.
Okay. Anyway, listen, you've interrupted. That was my good buddy, the Wizard, out on the West Coast. He's the fellow I palled up with in Nigeria, and then after, when he came home after extending for a third year, we shared a house together, or the top floor of a house together in Ottawa, and we've been pretty tight ever since. Anyway, he's sharing a little story. It goes back to Christmas in Nigeria, 1980, 25 years ago. So let's hear what he has to say, and then we're going to go on. I'm going to talk a little bit about John Lennon. We're going to play some more Christmas songs, and I just want to put out a nice show. Some people will be listening to this during the holidays. So, please, stay out. Come back. We'll be doing a special New Year's show and year in review. You can maybe come back then, but stay out for now, okay? Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Ken, I was wondering if you remembered Christmas in Afoa. I remember arriving at your beautiful house, an old missionary house, as I remember. And with bougainvillea growing outside of it, your McGarty, your guard, greeting us and saying, well, Mr. Ken is in the town somewhere. And so we waited for about 15 or 20 minutes, and you came loping up the pathway. And before you made it to the house, McGarty started jumping around like crazy and saying something that I did not understand. And sure enough, there was a scorpion running across the concrete porch outside your house, so he flattened that thing pretty quickly. It wasn't a big scorpion, but it was still a scorpion, so it was kind of an interesting intro to your life. I remember going into the capital city, Ouchy, and purchasing a canned ham, which we thought was a pretty special little item, considering that we've been living on Samavita and canned sardines and tomato paste and a bit of rice or whatever you could make from those things. And there was a canned ham. Man, was that an enjoyable Christmas feast. I think some little potatoes as well. One of the most interesting Christmases. And, a lot of fun. I still remember it fondly. I also recall that there was a bit of cognac involved with that Christmas party. And one of the things you never want to do is drink hard liquor in the tropics. You have the worst hangover the next day, and you also have to deal with the heat and the sunlight and the humidity, and man, does that feel awful. You really want to drink a lot of water. As I recall, that we had to filter all of our water in Nigeria, actually something that I stopped doing after the first month or two that I was there, but I remember there was a good reason to do it in your place, because, you remember that water filter is a cylindrical system of aluminum with a lid on the top, and it comes in two parts. And the top part is the section you pour in the water, and inside that section are two porous white candles, again, two cylindrical objects that are rounded at the top, and they allow the water to pass through into the bottom section of the filter. It traps all of the sediment and garbage that ends up in the water there. I remember looking into the great concrete water bin that you had beside your house and seeing a dead lizard floating around in there, so also a good reason to boil your water while you're over there. I remember pouring the water into your filter, and as it seeped through, I saw something moving around in the bottom of the container, and it turned out to be a little leech. So a good reason for you to filter water. I never had that problem up in Gongola State. Now, as you recall, we were drinking that cognac. I'd gone out onto your porch to enjoy the stars and a sip of the liquor, and suddenly there was an enormous crash inside. I looked inside, and there was Kevin laying on his ass, the little bookcase that you had in which the water filter used to rest on, completely knocked over onto the floor, and that candle, that water filter, gone akimbo, and inside one of the candles was broken. As you recall, you got Kevin to pay for that. I don't think that he was all that happy about it. But why was he on his ass? I don't know. You guys were playing poker. I think he was leaning back, enjoying his cards. And the next thing we knew, bang, he was flat out. Anyway, the next day, oh man, major hangover and no water. That was not pleasant. All of which necessitated us having to drag our sorry, dehydrated rear ends into your town looking for bottles of Africola or Fanta. And probably, as I wouldn't be surprised if what we ended up doing was just simply starting all over again with bottles of Star beer or whatever they were selling down there. Well, Merry Christmas, you know, we toughed it out.
Always hard to start these things off, you know. But I started a Shavecast to you, and I think the battery died. This is my third little AA battery I've gone through since I got this, only a couple of weeks ago, but I have been using it a lot. And since, this is the Eye River I'm talking about, this time without the Griffin lapel mic attached. Just the built-in mic on its own. Which may even be better. Which makes me shudder to think of all the money I wasted with the iPod and the Griffin mic and the lapel mic. And I have got so much crap that I've bought over the years. I even had my bloody little Palm Pilot set up with my cell phone, the cables, all the crap. I don't think I ever, I mean, I got a few email messages that way, but it was so damn clumsy and awkward. You know, guy in the store sold it to me, and that store since went out of business. It seems so cool to be able to do that. I just had to have it, and I'm a sucker, and I'm that way about this damn little Eye River, which I sometimes curse because, man, figuring out these menu buttons. You got to learn the difference between click and push, and long click and long push, and then whatever combinations they go. So for me to actually find what I want to listen to get back to the root folders and so on, Drives me nuts. I never get there. I think they've built in, they've deliberately programmed in a random button so that every odd click you put in, it'll do something it's not supposed to do at all. But anyway, that aside, it's a nice little toy, but it's much more expensive than I thought it would be, because it's not only the $172 I paid with the bloody tax, and I'm embarrassed to say that out loud, because that was money I don't have for this thing I don't need. And that produced so much guilt that I couldn't deprive my youngest son, Chuck, of a PSP, which I'm looking at right now. Not on sale anywhere, of course. And I bought the game knowing how much he'd want it. And he's been a great little kid. And, you know, I spent the extra $50 to get the Gigapack, because it comes with, I think, an 8 megabyte. Or was it? Oh, it's a 1 gigabyte, of course. What else? Memory stick, which you need, and it means you can actually use this little PSP as a music player. And I spent far too much money, as I do every Christmas. My father celebrated Christmas, well, my family did, of course, but my father always did. And last night I got to feeling sorry for my kids, because they don't have, we're kind of stranded here in Toronto, and they've got one grandmother in Japan who they're never in contact with, and both my parents dead because I married late, and etc., etc. So I thought about my folks last night, as you always get nostalgic around Christmas time, and thought, if they were around, they'd chip in, and my father would cheer me on and say, yeah, get it for them. And the guilt comes from, of course, all the people, the have-nots all around the world, of which I'm doing nothing to help. And the fact that, hey, he's got the little handheld Nintendo set, an earlier one, not the newest. And they've got a Nintendo 64, which we bought a few Christmases ago, several, which I love. That was the first, my break into the kids' electronic toy world. And it came with Donkey Kong. It was a great set. And to me, funnily enough, that's kind of a happy Christmas memory. The sound of Donkey Kong and watching my kids play this, or Chuck in particular, finding his way around with stuff that I just didn't know, grabbing those golden bananas, and it was so cool. So I guess, in a way, that's always going to be a happy Christmas memory for me. So this year, Jerry gets a nice little iHome or whatever it is, a thing to plug his iPod into, which works as a radio and charger in the works. And Chuck gets a PSP. And, of course, a lot of other stuff, too. But what the hell? It's Christmas. It comes once a year. And I guess there's a certain amount of guilt that goes with it. But, you know, all the things you could do. Hey, kids, let's not have presents this year. Let's give all the money to help support some poor orphan. Or let's become vegetarians starting January 1st. And let's tithe a portion of our family income. All those are good things, of course, which I'll never do and would not force on my kids. So, sorry, I'm going to continue to live the wrong way and follow the herd into those big box stores. No, I don't buy. No, sorry, I don't buy at a lot of them. Pardon the noise. I'm unpacking to find out what I've bought. Every year, I buy books from my family. My brother, sister, in-laws, nephews, nieces. Everybody gets a book from Uncle Dude. Because I just think it's a good gift, and it's not that I go in and buy any book. I do go into chapters. I'll spend $100 or so, and I spend hours choosing for each one. So here for my brother, who never listens to the podcast, by the way, doesn't maybe not even know I do them, a nice little book on American cars of the 60s. Something he doesn't need, but he doesn't like to read a whole lot anyway. And there's great pictures of them, including the Caprice that my father had, the 66 Chev Caprice, was a beauty. So it's just kind of fun.
you know, just nice colored pictures, like all the ads from the day. Every big, ooh, look at the fins on this 1960 Plymouth. What a gas. A Valiant, remember those? Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, I gotta look through that. Literary Britain and Ireland for my sister-in-law. Canadian Postal Heritage book for my brother-in-law. The 60s. They're going to hate me for this, for my nephew and niece, because they're always teasing me. I'm the burned-out, dirty old hippie uncle. At least that's coming from my nephew, who I think whose opinion you've heard before on this show. He was the one who wrote that letter and said the world is getting better. Well, I couldn't resist it when I saw the 60s Chronicles, A Complete History, an expensive book. Forward by Walter Cronkite, prefaced by Tom Hayden. Ooh. And it's good. I mean, it covers a hell of a lot. And I'm going to tease them a little bit. So I've noticed they're kind of ignorant about the 60s, and they really need to learn a little more what it was all about and teach their children. So, my bed is just covered with all these gifts, none of which are wrapped yet. But I'm just sort of doing the mental countdown to find out, okay, what do I have left to shop for? I got to go out today. I always overdo the stockings for my boys and get them a ton of stuff for, you know, candies, chocolates, little toys. That's the fun part for me. And it's what they like too. They get up first, they open the stockings before anything else. And so I don't want to disappoint them. They're wonderful kids. Christmas is a time you should have some happiness. And I'm very, very, very sorry. And I mean that from my heart. For the kids who don't have, for the families who are really poor. And yeah, I hope. Maybe I'll do more in future. I know now is the time. I know I should be doing now. So I'll put some money in a Salvation Army bucket today. And think of them too. Because if I can afford all this crap, I can sure afford that. And yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll leave you there. I was feeling kind of guilty, but now that I've gone through it, I don't feel too bad. I don't know what kind of a podcast this is. I was not going to do one at all. But, hey, it is in the season, and so I'll share a little bit with you. This was starting with this, and maybe I'll get off to a Christmas tunes. And meanwhile, I'll go out and stock up on a little more chocolate and a few more presents after I take stock here and get back to you later. Okay? Catch you in a bit.
Trees.
Well, folks, I think it's time to finally do the John Lennon talk. Because if I don't do it now, I don't know when it'll get done. And I connect John with Christmas a lot. I think it's maybe one Christmas I got. They had probably released one of his special collections of music. Yeah, I suppose after he died, probably came out that Christmas. There was a lot. And it was just a time to remember him. So there's always a connection now with Christmas and John Lennon. And I'm looking at my library. You've heard me rave on about my beat library before, which dominates. But down below, I've got a shelf which is pretty well just Beatles and a few other pops. Groups, Eric Clapton, Pink Floyd. But the bulk of it, maybe 20 books or more, are on the Beatles. And half of those are John Lennon. Now, the only one I'd tell anybody out there never to even pick up is the Albert Goldman book called The Lives of John Lennon, which is a lot of crap. But there are some other quite good ones. No, there's a lot of crap, too. There probably hasn't really been a really good biography written yet. But, John, if somebody has or knows of one, let me know. I've got, like, the old Rolling Stones interview, Playboy interviews, the woman he ran off for the weekend with the woman Yoko set him up with. What was her name? Myling or something like that. The Lost Weekend. And anyway, I'm not going to go into those. You know, this is not... I don't do my shows by preparing notes and doing research and giving a lecture. That's just not my style. I'm just going to talk from memory. So let me sit down again comfortably here in the bar and see what I come up with. I think something, it's obvious from listening to other people that, well, so many only know the Beatles, obviously, through their music. I never really grew up with the Beatles the way people of my age did. And that really does make a difference. And it's not that we can claim this special status. Bullshit. We can claim this special status. It just was such a part of our lives. And I do think we really see them in quite a different way. Clearly, I remember just the days of Beatlemania and being in high school, you know, the early 60s, and these songs coming out and the radio stations competing to who was going to have the newest Beatles song, and this huge thing on TV every night, and of course then the movie. Oh shit, there's the phone. Oh, hang on. Okay, that was from my wife. Edit. Anyway, I remember a girl I was with at the time in high school that spent a weekend sketching the Beatles. They'd buy all the pop magazines and sketch. Who'd see who could do the best picture of George? And everybody had their favorite. And, you know, I hear people bad-mouthing Ringo as a musician. But in the days of Beatlemania, it wasn't just the music. It was the four of them, the Fab Four, these cute, the mop tops. It was all about their cuteness. And so Ringo fit perfectly because he was obviously the ugly one and so many girls wanted to mother Ringo and he was big for that. And so the point we're leading up to is that they had to outgrow the cute Beatles stage. They had to get past that. And they did, thanks to Dylan turning them onto grass and their dentist turning them onto acid. And the changing times. So they went from these cute guys singing She Loves You, Yeah, 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 to people with, gee, a message, and eventually anti-war messages, and searching, and just getting deeper into their lyrics, and just opening up whole new areas to explore. And we grew up with them. We followed with them. And as they got into dope, well, we got into dope. And as they changed, we followed. And they became gurus. So they really went from this cute pop idol group to being somebody, you know, who we really wanted to listen to and hear. And of course, John, of all of them, was the leader of that. He was the one who was really outspoken. And that's why Obviously, he's my favorite Beatle, with George pretty close second. But the song I was, you will hear from now, it captures perfectly. It really captures John's heart and his feeling. And he truly, he lived through pain, you know, losing his mother, losing his aunt, and growing up without a father. There's a lot of pain in his life, and it came up. He had a pretty cutting sense of humor. So it's not to make somebody perfect, and he wasn't saintly by any means. He was human, and with all his weaknesses, and I think that's why so many people really dig him, so many people like what he had to say and the way he said it and his style, and why America was so afraid of him coming in and taking such a stand, because he had such a huge following, like Timothy Leary. I guess the other point I really wanted to talk on was so many people thinking, oh, well, Yoko came along and broke up the Beatles, and that is just so far from the truth. And if anybody truly liked John, they've got to be happy that he found Yoko, because she was the one who helped lift him out of this little Beatlemania thing. Who knows what would have happened? He wouldn't have gone anywhere, perhaps. Very good chance he wouldn't have. He needed to grow, and she stretched his limits, and she got him beyond the Beatles. She was much more mature than he was, and she's a very smart woman. And I know lots of people at the time, there really was a lot of racism involved, and just, you know, how could she wreck them? And man, oh man, if anybody who stopped at that point, well, stay there. Because the truth is, John needed her, and it's a wonderful love story, and I think it's a story that's going to survive for another century. I think this is the stuff of Shakespeare, that particular love story, and what they produced together. And sure, there's a lot of crap, but they were artists, and I think that's what she brought out in him, John, the true artist. So, gee, that was a pretty shitty rendition, wasn't it? I've done this a couple of times and lost it, and I think that's why my heart really is not in it right now. I think you already know, I called in the Bob and AJ show once and said how much I really miss John, and it is. He's a person who I really, really miss. Somebody you just want around, somebody you want to hear. I don't think there's a day goes by when the news, something's going on. It's not that I think about him every day, but I'd like his opinion. I'd like his perspective. I'd like to see a cameraman go up to John and say, you know, what do you think about this Bush administration? What do you think about the kids in Darfur? What do you think about this and that? I just, you know, value his opinion. He was, I guess, a guiding light. Really was. And I miss him for that. And I'm going to stop there and maybe play a little more music and maybe get back to this.
Sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. need. Love is all you 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 need.
So here's what got stuck in Mark's head this week from Canadian podcasting.
This week actually was interesting because I went for the funny, or I tried to go for the funny, at least the stuff that cut me off guard. I'm going to start off this week with Dixon Janes. I think if you're a Canadian podcast consumer, you've at least come across the show. This is a Scarborough dude. And I don't even know that I can explain what he's talking about. I think this clip speaks for itself.
Ooh, I'm eating old pistachio nuts. When they're on sale, it's for a good reason. Anyway, I'm just not the type of person who can concentrate on one thing for any length of time. It's a sickness, and it's a sign of a deteriorating brain. I just wanted to share that with you.
You know what I like about Scarborough, dude?
What's that?
I like the fact that he's honest. Sometimes a little too honest. but when he's honest, he offers some insight, and he makes you think about yourself in at the same time.
Welcome. Now boarding.
Welcome to my space age bachelor pad.
Buenas, mis amigos. Happy holidays. I am so glad you could make it. My, you look ravishing tonight.
Fine.
I love the boots. And you look so dashing. The cut of that suit is impeccable. Now, please, come in and make yourselves at home. You will find the bar over there. There's a lovely view of Venus tonight, and I'm sure your ears will take you to where the band is playing in the back room. And oh yes, the mistletoe is right over. Ah, it seems to be occupied right now. Well, just relax and have a fabulous time. Feliz Navidad, baby.
And girls, I'm back, and I should fess up here. You're gonna hear two songs on this podcast, my Christmas podcast, both of them compliments of Starbucks coffee. Now, I know people have a lot of strong opinions this way and that way about big chains like this, but hey, they were sent to me by a friend on the West Coast, which I think keeps Starbucks in business. And I just want to include them. The last song really is beautiful. War Is Over by The Alarm. It's just a fine song to go out with. I've been saving that all day to put at the end. And now this is what you've just heard. A very stupid version of Jingle Bells, but kind of fun and liven things up a bit, because we don't want Christmas to be just all serious all the time. And, man, there are just so many topics I want to touch on, you know. I really have to do, a lot of people are taking breaks over the holiday, but not the Scarborough dude. Because I want to finish this off, get it out to you, try and post it tonight. So you're going to have something for the holidays. And then I want to do a holiday show, kind of a New Year's show. I made a whole lot of recording at a party I was at in Kingston last weekend. Decided not to use it this time, but I think I might. I'll try and piece some of that together next week with a number of other points. But right now, I'm sitting outside a two-for-one pizza. My number two son has decided he and a pal want to go see King Kong tonight. So I said, that's great. And to make up for all the grumpiness I usually show them, I decided I'd just go out and get them pizza. I'll drive them there. The friend's parents will drive them back. My poor wife is working tonight and working a lot through the holidays. So that'll leave me and Chuck. And I think I'm going to use tonight to wrap up the presents and get this show on the road. A few things I wanted to say. One of them is not very nice, and I probably shouldn't even talk about it at all, but I'm going to, because, hey, when did that ever stop me before? It's Wayne Gretzky's mother's funeral. So what? Wayne Gretzky's mother died. Yeah, I'm sorry. Everybody dies. Everybody's mother dies. Why is this news? He's a fucking hockey player. He's a great hockey player. The great one. But hey, everybody's got a mother. They don't make it into the paper. She's not a saint. She's a hockey mom. Yeah, I'm sure she was a great person. Wonderful to all her friends and people who knew her. Didn't like the limelight. Yeah. Well, the media used it because they knew they were going to see a lot of hockey players together. Which really stinks, okay? A media frenzy. Hey, we're going to get to film these guys walking into the funeral. But they did it like when she got sick, when she died, when it went back for the funeral. It's been on TV on every bloody Canadian newscast. It's been on the front page of the paper. Bullshit, crap, there's people dying everywhere. There are far bigger stories. This one really, really annoys me. Man, so I'm sorry. Hey, like anybody else, you know, it's a sad thing. Let them grieve in private. She wouldn't have wanted that coverage. Shame on the media for doing this. And because I don't even think the public cared all that much. And hang on while I turn on the light here. The other story is Todd Bertuzzi making the Olympic team. And I'm going to read. There's two quotes at the paper. We're sending a hockey team to win gold for Canada, not assembling a peace convoy. If Gretzky is fine with sending Bertuzzi, I'm more than okay with that. That was Mike Martin of Toronto. And another opinion from Lorna Green, oh, wouldn't you know to be girl and boy. True Olympians are people like Silken Lauman, who overcame injury to excel at the Olympics. Todd Bertuzzi embodies all that is contrary to the Olympic and Canadian spirit. I say the guy shouldn't be allowed to go. I think it should be a privilege to go. Sure, we want to win, but I think the guy should be punished. I guess you know any hockey fans out there. I'm not, by the way, but Bertuzzi did something really dirty. Where's the quote? Like, he suckered a guy for Vancouver, and, you know, he's known as a goon. Where is it? Well, anyway, you all know. Anybody who's listening knows. There are no rules to keep him out. So they just went ahead and let him in. I don't think he should have gone in. Last point. I've been listening to a few podcasts. Dave Slusher and just recently, what's his name? Another guy from Toronto homeschooling his kid. I've just discovered. Not Toby Tyler. Funny little name. Todd Turtle. Sorry, Todd. And he was talking about Christmas. They don't celebrate it. And it seems more and more people aren't. celebrating Christmas. And I think they're rejecting, of course, well, two things. One, the commercialism, which we're all pissed about. And the other part is that they don't feel any connection to Christ. And why isn't it just called the holidays and so on? And I find that kind of interesting. I'm a lot older. My family certainly are all Christian, went to church, regular people, heavily involved. I dropped out at age 13. But I call myself a Christian as a philosophy. It's not my religion, it's my philosophy. I think whatever this person, Jesus Christ, talked about, those are wonderful messages. Now, the rest of the hocus-pocus that goes with the church, and particularly Catholicism, I'm sorry, I really don't want to offend people out there, but man, virgin birth and rising from the dead and all the other stuff that you're supposed to buy, well, that's just as bad as the rest of the crap that goes with all the other religions, and I don't buy into that. I like the idea of the simple message, love your neighbor. Now, there was a passage here. I've got the newspaper. See, I came prepared for this one. Another good article in the opinion piece called In Search of Peace on Earth. And the heading in big bold letters is, all you need is empathy. And they're talking about, that's the one thing that this person, the writer, a professor of religious studies, Meredith Cartwright, Master's in Theological Studies at Harvard Divinity School. Well, good for her. Now she's teaching law and religion in the Center for Sexual Diversity Studies, University College City, University of Toronto. Okay. Got some credentials, this lady. But her point was that the one thing all these religions have in common are that people need friendship. What did seem to be the recurring theme throughout several of the world's religions and philosophies, as well as some of the simpler narratives we studied, was the universal human need for friendship, empathy, and human touch in the face of brutal and sometimes horrifying suffering. So find your fellow sheep and shepherds. No matter how deep the shadows, you will need them, and they will need you. And I kind of like that. She's saying, hey, it really is about the human touch and friendship. And I think that comes through, and people who are using Christianity, religion, commercialism, all is an excuse for bah humbug. No, really, it's a time. And of course, the sad part is it should be all year round, but it is a time for some small miracles, for some kindness, for making that extra effort to smile and be friendly to someone. Okay, so my message is I just want to thank. Hope this damn thing's recording. Yeah, it appears to be. I want to thank all the listeners, the people who have signed my Frapper map. By the way, visit Dixon Jane's blogspot.blog or whatever the hell it is. Just do search D-I-C-K-S-N-J-N-E-S and find my blog, find Frapper, sign up if you haven't already. And thank everybody who's been listening and encouraging me to go on. I am embarrassed. I don't want to start giving names because I'll leave somebody out and feel really shitty later. I think you know who you are. People aren't posting to my blog, which is fine, but they are sending me personal emails. And that really means a lot. I am listening. And I have the feeling all this talk about having to quit, I have the feeling I'm not going to be able to quit after all. So keep them coming. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the things you're sending me. The music, the thoughts. Thanks, Wizzy, for all the contributions you made for this show. Good old pal. And Keith out there for your little gift. Much appreciated. More on that in the new year. And the Canadian Podcast Buffet, for I think this is one of the best ideas to come out of podcasting in quite a while. I'll be sending in my promo for sure. But I think you guys have done a great job. It's a wonderful thing and we need it. And all of you struggling, humble podcasters out there who are just doing your best. Daryl out there on his own and just working at that show and, you know, working at promoting it and getting listeners. And I guess most of all, the thing I'm celebrating and the thing I want to thank people for is this wonderful, damn fine community of podcasters reaching out to Ted at Island Podcasting and
Of course, the Chub Creek Boys, the heart of the matter right there. For this great, great, great community and the friendship and the good feeling and spirit and sharing, that's all a part of this podcasting. That is truly a gift. That is truly, truly wonderful. So let's celebrate that. Have a great holiday, all of you. And celebrate, be kind to somebody, be good to someone, show love. Feel love, give love, take love, make love, not war. And that's it from the Scarborough Dude. See you next week. Bye-bye.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you are just begun. So this is Christmas, I hope you have fun, the near and the dear ones, the old and the young. And so this is Christmas, for weak and for strong, for rich and for poor ones, the road is so long. And so happy Christmas, and a happy new year. Let's hope it's a good one, without any fear. War is over. Black and for white, for yellow and red ones, let's all stop the fight. So happy Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new